Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of the pleasures that I reserve for times that don't take away from work or family time is recreational reading. When I go on vacation, I will read multiple books, especially if there's a time that offers hours of no interruptions like air travel. My kids will tell you that when they were small and we had to go a place that necessitated a stop at a motel overnight, that I would help them get to sleep in a dark room, and then I would go into the hotel bathroom and read for hours. You know, I can't remember why it was that Kathy and the kids decided to go back to the farm in Preston for a few days one year, but it left a very empty house and many free hours, especially if you count the hours that are dark. I picked up a novel. It was by Stephen King. Perhaps a poor choice, given the fact that the house was empty and Stephen King was the king of all horror stories a generation ago, just the master of epic stories of tragedy and terror. This particular book was called Cujo. Some of you have read this book or seen the movie. To really abbreviate this very long story, a woman and her four-year-old son find themselves trapped in their Ford Pinto in the yard of the mechanic where the woman has gone to get this Ford Pinto fixed, but it absolutely died right there. The woman's husband is out of town on a business trip. The author has invented reasons why everybody else who would know of the whereabouts of this woman are somehow out of the area as well, or they have already been killed by a rabid dog named Cujo, a huge Saint Bernard, normally a good dog, but it has been bitten on the nose by a bat. And because of its rabid derangement, believes that everything that moves is its enemy. Donna and Tad are trapped in their little Ford Pinto, the dog standing as high as the car, leaves its rabid lather slathered all over the windows. We feel the terror of this mom and this four-year-old. A couple of failed attempts to get to the house, which is empty and very badly. The dog lunges at its prey behind those car windows repeatedly. We feel the heat rising in the car on that summer day over hours and hours. Mind you, I'm reading this book in a second-story bedroom in my house. And it was so real, I half expected Cujo to jump through that second-story window. I know this sounds silly, but I kept checking that window. Were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others looking over their shoulders, wondering if the axe was at the root of their trees? Did they feel a little terror as John the Baptizer shouts, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Did they worry about the winnowing fork that was clearing the wheat from the granary, from the floor, and the chaff would be burned with unquenchable fire? Did they half expect Cujo to jump through their window? Now, my reading terror was made up and unreal. John the Baptizer was very real. And if he looked you in the eye and threatened you with unquenchable fire, you would be looking around for the nearest fire hydrant. And we go from that terror in our Bible reading immediately to the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, the one of whom Isaiah and John spoke, the one who would baptize with water with fire and the Holy Spirit. Ah. This baptism of Jesus, the first recorded event of Jesus' adult life in the Bible, when he was perhaps about 30 years of age. We read of his birth in the Bible. We read of the little boy Jesus and his parents going to Egypt in order to escape death by Herod. We read in Luke of the boy 12 years old, Jesus, going to Jerusalem to the temple with his parents. And then, nothing. Nothing. Until today's story, John the Baptizer and Jesus in the Jordan. A gap of about 18 years. So it is on this day we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. We always celebrate the baptism of Jesus on the Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany always being January 6th. It is a day in which we lift up the gifts of God in baptism. So Jesus comes to John at the River Jordan. He accedes to this baptism, a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus does not need forgiveness of sins. Instead, it is his way of marking the public recognition of the beginning of his ministry. It is a way of him identifying with humankind, that is, lowering himself to what we need rather than him remaining on a divine level. It is clear that Jesus fulfills all righteousness of God before, during, and after the baptism. But we have a very clear reminder of that after the baptism in our reading for today. He goes down into the water. He comes out. Suddenly, the heavens are opened. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and a voice from heaven declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So in our Bible reading for today, we go from the terror of unquenchable fire to the great joy of a voice from heaven declaring pleasure. We have now for weeks been celebrating a baby born in a manger at Bethlehem. But the only reason we worship that baby is because this baby grew strong in the Lord. This baby ministered. This baby became a man, died, and rose again. We worship this Jesus because he went down into the waters of the Jordan, not for himself, but for us. We worship the one whom heaven has declared, with whom I am well pleased. Now imagine you are standing at the River Jordan, hearing John castigate the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, are you worried that the axe is at the root of your tree? Can you feel the heat? But then into view comes one who changes everything. This one goes down into the water. The heavens open. The Holy Spirit descends. The voice speaks. So today is a day, the baptism of our Lord, that we invite everyone back from the last year who has had baptisms. Thank you all for taking time to do that today with us. It is a good day to remember the gifts that we receive in baptism. With John, Jesus in baptism gives the forgiveness of sins. Beyond John, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit life and salvation. These are not gifts for John to give. They are gifts only from the hand of God. The people standing at the River Jordan that day would not know this, having only seen the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We are privileged to know this. There are times in this world in which we feel the heat. We might wonder about that which we hear in the world. We might wonder about what we hear at church from time to time, wondering if we have a vengeful God who is just waiting for us to step off the beaten path so he can torch us with unquenchable fire. But into that view steps a Savior, a Son, with whom God is well pleased. We need not fear the unquenchable fire. Instead, in Christ, we live with the unquenchable gifts of life and love. Amen. Hymn 452.